But anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned,
yes,
and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by what?
Inspiration.
Inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect,
yes,
thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thank you for standing here. Amen. Tonight for the reading of the word of the Lord. Amen. We have met here tonight. There's a lot of reasons. Yes, we're saved. Amen. Yes, we're here to worship God and serve the Lord and service and work. I guess you would say here tonight we're here to, amen, worship Him. But really also a very common theme that joins us together is we believe the Bible. Amen.
Right. Yes.
Praise God. Bless every you. One of us in here tonight should believe the Bible. Amen. We believe in the Bible, in the God, rather, of the Bible, the Christ of the Bible. And did you know that the plan of salvation is revealed to us in the Bible? Amen.
Yes.
I'm going to deal with the perfection of the Scripture, the perfection of the Word of God. Amen. To us here tonight, if the Lord help us, amen. I tell you, I believe this Bible is God's perfect Word.
Amen.
Don't you?
Hallelujah.
I don't believe it's some book that was concocted up. Amen. I don't think that it's something secondary. And I can get, once again, I'm going to give you a lot of facts. Amen. But I tell you what, Brother George, it's still the number one seller.
Yes, yes.
Woo! Men write a lot of books and New York best time sellers and all that. You can stack all them books up over the last 10, 20 years, and they don't sell a fraction of what the Word of God sells.
Thank God.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Wow. Amen. Why? Because this Bible is inspired of God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Listen to this. And here's some of the facts I've given you in the past. The Bible was written over a 1,500-year period.
Yeah. Bless him, Lord.
Genesis wasn't the first book written.
Hello.
The Bible was written by over 40 different authors. And we've done this experiment. Some of you have done it in school and possibly Sunday school class, but I can give you a phrase and I can write, well, tell it to Brother Earl and tell him a sentence, you know.
Yeah.
And he tell it to Sister Christine and she tell it to Sister Doc. And go on. And by the time it gets to Sister Mary over there, it's a different sentence.
That's right, yeah.
Why? Because it went through 25, 30 people.
Come on.
So you tell me how this book right here can be written over a 1,500-year period by 40 different men, and there's not one, amen, place that you could cross and put an X on it and say it ain't right, amen.
Right.
They didn't add up, praise God. Isn't that a miracle?
Yes.
Of these 40 men, there were kings, there were military leaders, peasants, philosophers, fishermen, tax collectors, poets, statesmen, musicians, scholars, and shepherds.
Right.
Hallelujah. Right. The Bible was written in many different places, at many different times, and by people experiencing many different moods. The Bible was written on three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. The Bible was written in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Arabic. The Bible is written with many different literary styles, prose, poetry, historical narrative, romance, law, biographies, allegories, and prophecies. The Bible addresses hundreds of difficult situations without one single contradiction.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Accurate.
Isn't that something?
Right.
The Bible is a book of great diversity, yet in spite of this, it unfolds a single continuous story. And it does so without ever contradicting one time. Over 1,500 years, 40 different men, and not one time does it contradict itself.
Woo!
The Bible has for its main character, amen, God Himself. made known through the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Through the Holy Ghost, the power and the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Woo. Thank you.
Go ahead and stop and shout.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Bible is a unique book, but its uniqueness is not accidental. Rather, it was very purposeful. The Bible achieves its uniqueness through the process that I read to you out of the scriptures just now that we call inspiration. Amen. What is this inspiration? It is a process, amen, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Ah, the perfection of the Word of God. Amen. The first step in getting this Word on paper is a process known of revelation. This is a process whereby a man hears from the Lord just what God wanted written down. Amen. I don't have time, and I've got multiple scriptures. And if you want some of these, I'll give you copies of my notes. Amen. But God spake through angels. Genesis 18. Amen. Genesis 19. Luke chapter 1. Amen. Through Luke chapter 2. Matthew chapter 28. God spoke through angels.
Yes,
amen.
He
spoke through audible voices.
Right.
Somebody don't think God speaks audibly. God speaks audibly.
Yes, he does.
Woo, amen. Oh, yes.
Amen.
God here today. Amen. He speaks audibly. Amen. And I can give you multiple references there. Once again, if you want these, I'll give them to you later. He speaks not only audibly, but he speaks in a still small voice.
Yes, sir. He does.
He speaks through, a nature. Hallelujah. God can use nature to speak to a man.
Woo. Yes, Lord.
Now, here might be a funny one, but did you know God can speak through an animal?
Right.
Yeah.
He did in the Word of God. I can give you multiple instances.
Amen.
Amen. One I love to tell. Praise God. He said, why does a preacher like chicken? Amen. I tell you why he likes chicken. Praise God. That old cock crowed and Peter looked at him and said, I'm going to get you, boy. Woo! Amen. I don't know. I preached a little bit about Jonah the other night. Amen. One preacher said that the Bible never said a whale swallowed Jonah. Well, I hate to tell that preacher something. He said that the Bible said a great fish swallowed him. And that's what it said in the book of Jonah. Amen. A great fish swallowed him. But in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, amen, Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in a whale's belly.
That's what he said.
Great God in heaven. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you. God spoke through the whale, didn't he?
Yes.
I don't think when Jonah got out of there, he ever liked fish again. Woo! And somebody said, Peter said he's going to get, I don't know, I doubt Peter ever liked chicken again. Amen. And I wonder if the prophet will ever like pork after he got out of the hog pen. God in heaven. God can speak through animals. Amen.
Right.
I don't have time to get into this, but God can speak through dreams.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Genesis 28 and 12. Amen. He spoke to Jacob. Hallelujah. Matthew 1 and 2. He spoke through dreams. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. He spoke through dreams. God also speaks through visions. He gave Isaiah visions. He gave Daniel visions. Amen. He gave Paul visions. Amen.
Right.
God can speak through visions. I must hurry here. 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophets, God speaks through prophecies. Amen.
Right.
For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man. This is very important.
Wow.
But by holy men of God, amen, spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. God breathed inspired, God breathed his word to holy men of old. Amen. God spoke to him. Amen. He didn't overrule or overbear their personalities. Peter wrote like Peter talked. Amen. Paul wrote like Paul talked. Amen. Great God. And God inspired his word to these men, and these men wrote it down. Hallelujah. Amen. How could God speak to Isaiah hundreds of years, amen, before Jesus was ever born as a babe in Bethlehem, and Isaiah penned it down? I tell you how it did. God inspired it. Amen. God breathed, amen, to his spirit through Isaiah. Why Isaiah wrote it down? Why am I taking time to preach this? Amen. Really teach it to you here. I tell you why. It's very important. important for you to believe with everything in you that this is the inspired God breathed, God lived Word of God. Amen. I don't think I just have a book, amen, that God wanted us to have. I believe I've got the very Word of God, amen, right here in my presence tonight. I believe what you hold, wouldn't it be good? Who's got a Bible with you here tonight? Won't you hold it up? Amen. Won't you show that? Did you know this right here? Amen. It's not just any book. This is God's Word. Amen. Somebody said, I wish God would speak to me. He has. Amen. God has spoke to you. Somebody said over 3,800 different promises. Amen. I need a promise of God. 3,800 promises in this book right here. And I come to tell you right here tonight, amen, God has spoke to you through His Word.
Amen.
Yes. Woo! I ain't trying to browbeat you.
Thank you, Lord.
You're here. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to love you.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
And we got God's Word and we never pick it up.
That's right.
Come on. Woo! Hallelujah. Yeah. We got God's Word and we never study it.
Come on.
We never see what it has to tell us. Amen. I don't know about you. I want to pick it up, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. God gave His Word through revelations. I mentioned all the above. Amen. The second step in this process of inspiration. Amen. It is the process of inspiration. God breathed. Amen. Man writing what God spoke to him down. Hallelujah. Amen. God breathed. Illumination. This is when God used the inspired written record of His revelation to speak to the hearts of individual people. Amen. I don't know about you, but God has spoken individually to my heart. Hallelujah. There's some things, Brother Earl, in my life, I don't care if my world fell apart tomorrow. I'd never back up on it. Why? Because God illuminated it in my life. Amen. And I come to tell you right here today, amen, when this Word of God is illuminated and it shines down inside of your heart, you'll never be the same. Amen. Did you hear that? You'll never be the same. Amen. When that Word of God, amen, amen, illuminates itself, it changes you forever. Amen.
Right. Yeah.
This book right here has proofs. Amen. Woo. That it's inspired of God. Our faith can rest not just in the fact that God personally breathed His Word through men, but that His Word will stand up, amen, to several important tests as to its perfection. Hallelujah. Now, I mentioned some of these in the past, but did you know science and archaeology and even history have tried to disprove the Word of God? Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yes. They tried to say, amen, that God's Word was not infallible. Amen. But did you know for years men tried to say that a place called Ur of the Chaldees never existed until they archaeologists uncovered some artifacts and the name of this city was called Ur of the Chaldees. Hallelujah. Great God, that'll make a Presbyterian get excited. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. History tried to say that there was never a ruler in Egypt by the name of Joseph. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And then archaeology uncovered, amen, listen to this. Amen, a tablet found in Yemen. It seems that this clay tablet was found in the tomb of a very rich woman who recorded her efforts to buy grain, amen, down in Egypt from a man by the name of Joseph. Right on the tablet that they found in a tomb in Yemen. Great God, I come to tell you, amen, the more that men are tied to disprove it, the more that men are tied to tear it down, the greater it pushes, amen, the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Great God, I'm about to feel like shouting. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, the seal of Barak, Jeremiah's scribe, has been found. Jezebel's makeup saucers have been found. Amen. Brick in Egypt have been found. Amen. That were made without straw, just like the Word of God said. The death of Jesus has been proven a historical fact. Amen. The birth and death of Jesus has changed the world. We date time before Christ and after Christ. Great God, I come to tell us this is the Word of God. Amen. I wish somebody would repeat that with me right here. This is God's Word. I don't care what some professor down at the college says. I don't care what some book that they found somewhere that somebody tried to drum up against this book. I don't care what a thousand men say. This is the Word of God, and I'll believe it till the day I die. If it's not, Mother Earl, every message I've ever preached, every prayer I've ever prayed is all in vain, because I believe in the infallible God-inspired, God-breathed Word of God.
Woo! Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Gracious Lord.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Bless you, Lord.
I love you, don't you?
Yes, Jesus.
It passes the scientific test. Here's where I need some help. Who wants to read? But tell me, give me Isaiah 40 and 22. Sister Missy, you got your Bible? Job 26 and 7. Sister Mary, Genesis 15 and 5. Glory to God. Amen. We're going to pass the scientific test here. The Bible says, Brother Tommy's getting ready to get it for us here, but the Bible proclaimed, did you know years ago, amen, and I can't remember all the science guys' names, but they originally thought the earth was possibly square.
Yeah.
Because they thought if you sailed so far in the water, you'd fall off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
But did you know the Bible, amen, long before man had a telescope, long before we had the technological advances of science today, tells us that the earth was round.
Come on.
Why? Because God knew it.
Yes, sir.
Great God. Tell us, brother. Tell me what Isaiah 40 and 22 says.
It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in.
It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, amen, but God knew it was round. Hallelujah.
Right.
The Bible says, who had Job 26 and 7? The Bible said that the earth was suspended, amen, in space. Listen to this.
He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing.
He hung the earth upon nothing.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Great God. I tell you, Brother George, men have built great buildings. Amen. But I tell you, them big massive buildings in New York City or these major cities, they tell me as high as them buildings are, they have to have massive foundations. Amen. But can you imagine this earth, the splendidness, the ginormity of this earth that it is? But God put it up there in the middle of nowhere. How did God do it? I tell you how He did it. God can do anything He wants to. Amen. When He got ready to build the earth, He put it up there. Amen. Great God in heaven, I come to. Not only did He put it up there, He populated it. Amen. God made everything out of nothing. Somebody said, where did we come from? It takes more faith to believe the Big Bang than it does creation. Did you hear me? It takes a lot more faith to think, Brother Earl, that all of this, amen, just happened to be. Great God, I come to tell you, it didn't just happen to be. Somebody said, that one old fella come home, told his parents one day, said, amen, the college professor was teaching, amen, that it was a biological, amen, impossibility that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Amen, ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling. Anybody knows that? Yeah, it's a biological impossibility, but that's what makes it so great. Hallelujah. Jesus, great God. Yeah. Amen. I hope I'm getting over your head. I feel like I'm trying to preach basic here tonight, but did you know Jesus was 100% God? He was 100% man. He wasn't 50% God and 50. He is 100% God and 100% man. When He died on the cross, He was 100% God. When He got the money out of fish's mouth, I'll tell you what, even greater than that. Adam and Haman was born with no mom or dad. God, woo! Did you hear me? Amen. God rest them. When he made everything, and he looked into a blob, and he said, let there be light. And there was light. And he spoke into nothing. Amen. And he hung the sun in the sky. And he formed the mountains. Amen. And he carved out the oceans for the George. And he spoke. And then he stepped back. And he said, let us make man in our own image. And there was God from the start. Who's us? I tell you who it was. It was God the Father and God the Son. Jesus Christ standing on the brink of eternity. Amen. Great God in it and said, let us make man.
Yes, yes.
And he carved him out.
Thank you.
In the dust of the ground.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Woo!
Yes, Lord.
Scientific. I remember this. I was just a little boy. So it happened over 30 years ago. Amen. My Uncle Larry, simple-minded as he is, he got up and made a big ordeal. He read some article out of the paper. Some big, well-known scientist spent years studying, amen, the makeup of a man, amen, of our bodies. And they spent thousands of millions, I guess, of dollars, amen, spent numerous of time and years. And they said, they came to this conclusion. They said, we broke a body down every way you can, amen. And we came to this conclusion, amen, that when a person's body breaks down, it has came from Mother Earth. Amen. It came from the dust of the ground. And my old fashioned pastor stood up and said, I could have saved them, amen, thousands, millions of dollars. I could have saved them years of their life and told them to flip over in the book of Genesis where the Bible said, and God made man and he formed him out of the dust. And he breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He never had a dad. He never had a mom. He was God breathed. He was God inspired. And I come to tell us right here today, Jesus never had a amen earthly father, but Adam never had a dad or a mom.
Woo! Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
It is so.
Miracle of a man.
I can see right now I ain't going to get through all this.
Glory to God.
Oh, yeah. The Bible already knew, God already knew from the beginning that he hung the earth on nothing. Woo!
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yes. Amen. Man, I got to get into that. Who had Genesis 15 and 5? The Bible claims that the stars, amen, before I move on, Sir Isaac Newton discovered, amen, in 1687, God told it from the start, amen, that the earth was round, but it wasn't until almost, great God, about 250, 300 years ago that we actually discovered that the earth sits upon nothing.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah. You tell me how, I can preach all night right here. You tell me how that happens, that the earth sits on nothing, but it's tilted just the right angle, and it spins, amen, at just the right speed, and it rotates around the sun, great God in heaven, at just the right time, amen, that if we is 1% closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If we is 1 degree further away, we'd freeze to death. It just didn't happen. It was God inspired. It was God breathed. God put it all in design. The master architect, the master engineer. And I come to tell, he's my God. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I believe every word in his book. Amen.
Woo!
Now I'm feeling, I tell you right now, I'm feeling better than all y'all.
Hallelujah.
And the Bible claims, Sister Mary, that the stars are innumerable.
Yeah.
And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be.
Yes. Woo. Yes, Lord.
He said, Abraham, amen. Can you number them stars up there? I read something a while back that just flabbergasted me. Amen. The smarter we get, the greater technology we get, the more space type stuff we get. I forget they had so many galaxies. They had a pin right here's how many galaxies that there is. And there's billions of stars in every galaxy. Until I read an article a while back that they said, Brother Earl, that they spotted even more galaxies beyond the galaxies that scientists thought that they said that's all there is. So one scientist said this, amen, there's galaxy upon galaxy. There's more out there than we could ever know about. Amen. God said the stars are innumerable. Amen. You can't put a number on them. Amen. That's how great my God is. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we know that there's trillions of stars in the heavens. Great God, the Bible contains rules regarding, amen, everything of life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It passes the prophecy test. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, Lord.
Isaiah mentioned Cyrus of Persia 125 years before he was born.
Bye-bye.
Not a single prophecy made in the Bible has ever failed, nor will it ever fail.
Right. Yes, Lord.
I'm getting ready to get into some of this I've told you before. I've got the details here. Thank God, I'm getting excited. Listen to this. Lord, amen. Jesus, for instance, if you were to take just a few of the most specific prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus and his birth on this earth, you can see just how astonishing the accuracy of the Bible truly is.
Right.
Consider just the 17 prophecies I've made mention in the past. I've got them right here tonight. He would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5 and 2. He would be preceded by a forerunner, John the Baptist, Isaiah 40 and 3, prophesied it hundreds of years before it happened. He would enter into Jerusalem, Zechariah 9 and 9. Amen, on a coat. Amen. By the way, Jesus entered Jerusalem on the exact day that Daniel had prophesied it hundreds of years in Daniel chapter 9 verse number 25. Hey, I thought some of you'd be shouting by now. Amen. Oh yeah, it prophesied that he would be betrayed by a friend. Psalms 41 and 9. It prophesied in Psalms 22 and 16 that his hands and his feet would be pierced. Isaiah 53 and 5 said he would be wounded by his enemies.
Right.
Zechariah 11 and verse number 12 said he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Isaiah 50 and 6 said he would be spit upon and beaten. Zechariah 11 and 13 says the betrayal, amen, money would be cast down in the temple and would be used to buy, amen, the porter field. Hey God, Isaiah 53 and 7 said he would be silent before his accusers like a lamb led to the slaughter. Isaiah 53 and 12 said he would be crucified with two thieves. Psalms 22 and 8 said, amen, people would gamble for his garments. They would cast lot. That came to pass. Zechariah 12 and 10, his side would be pierced. Psalms 34 and 20, not a bone in his body would be broken. You tell me how he could go through what he went through, but yet God said, thou not break a bone in his body. To a cross. Amen. They nailed his feet. And the custom was every Roman soldier had broke the legs of every man that had ever hung on a cross. But not this man. Why? Because God said, you're not break his bones. You're not good. Every man that ever hung on a cross had his legs broke. But when they came to Jesus, amen, the centurion passed him by. Amen. Knowing that he was already dead, and they break not his legs.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Yes. Oh, God.
Jesus. Psalm 16 and 10 said his body would not even decay. Why?
Thank you, Lord.
Because that third day, he was getting back up.
Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus.
Glory be God. Oh, let's go on here. Isaiah 53:9 said he would be there. He would be, amen, buried in the tomb of a rich man. Prophesied.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Amos 8:9 said darkness would cover the whole world.
Right. My, my, my. Glory, Lord.
Now listen to my calculations. There's some men. Someone to calculate the odds of just these 17 prophecies coming to pass and one chance in 480 billion. That is the number 480, 480, followed by 30 more zeros. In other words, it would be like taking a grain of sand, painting it gold, and hiding it somewhere among the 200 million stars and the millions of planets, moons, and asteroids in the Milky Way, and then blindfolding somebody and said, go find that grain of sand that we painted gold. It's an impossibility, but not with God, because this is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Even listen to this. If you, even if you only took 8 of these specific prophecies of his birth, amen, that refer to Jesus, it can be illustrated by the following. Suppose we filled the entire state of Texas knee deep with silver dollars, and we marked one silver dollar with an X and stirred up all the silver dollars in the state of Texas. Then we blindfolded a man and allowed him to go anywhere he wanted to in the state of Texas, amen, to reach down into those silver dollars and pick up the one with the X, amen, he'd have a greater chance of finding that silver dollar with the X, amen, than just 8 of these prophecies being fulfilled in the life of just one man. Hey, I come to tell us, it's God breathed. This is the perfect Word of God. Don't ever let anybody, amen, weaken your faith in this book. Don't ever let anybody tell you that the Word of God is not accurate and that it's not true. Listen to me, young people. This is the Word of God. You can stake your life on it. You can live by it. And more importantly, you can die by it. Amen.
Right. Yes, Lord.
Woo!
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Bless you.
What God began in Genesis, he finished in Revelation.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
This is in spite of all the fact that it took 1,500 years for the Word of God to be completed, unfolding a single story from Genesis to Revelation. I love what M.R. DeHaan said. I got a bunch of books by a guy by the name M.R. DeHaan. M.R. DeHaan said that if you read one page in the Word of God and you don't see a portrait, you don't see a picture of Jesus, yep, he said, read it again. You know why? Brother George, even when I was a kid, I think I read it through the first time when I was 14 years old from front to back. Amen. And I used to hate to get to them chapters, Brother Tommy. Amen. Chapter after chapter, begat, begat, begat. I couldn't even pronounce their names. This one begat that. And I used to think to myself, that's the silliest thing. Amen. Why in the world? But you know what? I had to grow up a little bit and understand that Jesus is in the begat. You know why? Because it was telling us of the lineage of our Savior, where he came from. I come to tell you, he's even in the begats, amen. He's from Genesis to Revelation, amen.
Woo! Yes, sir.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Lord.
If it were any other book, it would hide, amen, the failures of the men found in its pages. But did you know the Word of God does not hide men's failures?
Right, right, right.
It would hide the adultery of David. It would hide the murder of David, Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite. It would hide Elijah's depression. It would hide Peter's denial. It would hide Noah's drunkenness and Samson's lust. But it tells us just like it was. Woo, hallelujah. Yeah. There are many other areas in which the Bible, amen, could be put to the test. But I come to tell you, every way they tested it, it's come through proven tried and true. Amen. Hey, I come to inspire somebody here tonight to read the Word of God. I come to tell somebody, don't go to bed tonight until you engulf yourself. Pick it up. Read the Word. Somebody said, I don't understand it. Well, I recommend you read from Genesis to Revelation. But if you don't understand it, pick
get up and read the red words. If you don't understand, come and get in there in Matthew, where it starts off telling us how Jesus came of a Virgin Mary. Amen. Read there. Get over there in the Pauline epistles. Amen. Where Paul teaches us how to be a good Christian. Get over there in Timothy. Hey, great God. Hey, I come to get over there. It'll come alive. Amen. Beg God. Ask God. Lord, wake it up. Bring it alive in my heart. I come to I don't think you can go to heaven without reading God's word. I don't think you'll be a good Christian without falling in love with the word of God.
That's the truth.
Woo!
It's the truth.
I preach to you in my heart here tonight.
Oh, God.
Give me the God.
Yes.
Woo.
Jesus.
I'm done.
Oh, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God.
Lord. Lastly, God. Let me give you this. We got a few minutes. Lastly, the Bible is infallible.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
What does that mean, Brother Jason? It is incapable of failing.
That's right. That's right.
It cannot fail.
Amen. Glory to God.
Now this opens up an avenue to preach all kinds of doctrines. And, amen. If I don't believe this is God's book and it's really the Word of God, then I can't preach on healing.
Right.
I can't preach on the gifts. Right. I can't even preach on salvation.
Right.
Nobody can be saved unless this book is right, that Jesus came into this earth and bled and died. Amen. Hung on a cross for my sin and for you. Amen. All that's in vain if this ain't God's Word.
Right.
All that's in vain. Amen. What I'm preaching to you, amen, is just a fairy tale. But great God in heaven, I come to tell you, history's proven it. Science has proven it. Amen. Time has proven it. Men have, great God, I come to tell us this is the Word of God.
Amen.
And it's infallible. The Scriptures are in every sense perfect, and they are a perfect revelation of the mind of God.
That's it right there.
The Bible is inerrant. When people say the Bible contains mistakes and errors, they are calling the very character of God into question.
Yeah.
You'll not find one mistake in this book right here. Who give me Hebrews 6 and 18? Sister Dottie, give me Hebrews 6 and 18, and I'll be done here. Amen. Woo.
Thank you, Lord.
Great God in heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. This book has no mistakes. It is incapable of error. In all the teachings, amen, they are perfect according to truth. When people say that the Bible contains a mistake or an error, they are calling God's character into question. We are told that God simply cannot lie. Tell us, Sister Dottie, what Hebrews said. You listen to it for yourself.
I haven't got it yet.
Thank you.
I should have gave you a better notes.
Thank you, Lord.
That's all right. That's all right.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
That by two.
Hebrews 6 and 18. Was it immutable?
Yes, immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie.
It was by two immutable things. It is impossible for God to lie.
Yeah.
We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us.
Aren't you glad God don't lie?
Thank God.
Glory
Jesus,
God.
Jesus, Jesus.
Hey, I'm going to get down here close and personal. If you get put in a pinch, you might tell a lie.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
God can't lie.
That's right.
Because God is truth.
That's right.
That's right.
Right.
Woo.
Amen.
Glory
be to God.
All right. Not only is it inerrant, there's no errors whatsoever. The Bible is complete. That's why over there he said don't add one thing to it. Or don't take one thing away, because it is complete.
Sure.
It is enough to get you from here to there.
Amen.
Thank God.
Thank God. Woo! I don't want to get too far into this. Brother Tommy, best time ever did a series or two, a sermon or two on Sunday mornings. about all the different versions of the Bible. I don't know about you, but I think the cleanest, the best, the most accurate version of the Word of God is the King James Version. Yeah. Don't get yourself all mixed up. Somebody said, I need a modern version so I can understand it. Amen. You better throw that away.
Throw it out.
Come on. Throw it in the garbage can.
Woo.
Phil Kidd said it puts off a foul odor.
That's right.
Why? Because I can't remember all of them, but this, that one version, the NIV, it was written and inspired by a lesbian.
Yeah.
I don't need some commentary or some lesbian taking the pure Word of God, what the best that we have. I understand it came through translations. I already told you it was written in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand there was some translation. But God, and I debated this whether I'm going to have a second to this or not. God has preserved the Word of God.
Yes, He has.
Not only is it perfect, but it is preserved through the translations.
Right.
It is complete.
Right.
Don't add to it. Don't take away from it.
Glory to God.
It is the Word of God.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Stay with me in this house.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
God has finished His scriptures, and we hold it in our hands, the perfect and the complete record of the revelation of God. If you lived 10,000 lives and read every book ever written, and every book that would ever be written, you would never again encounter another book like this
one.
Thank God. Thank God for it.
In fact, you would never, ever again encounter any other scripture because the Bible is complete.
Right.
Well, they tell me they found a scroll here and a scroll there. This should have been in the Word of God. Let me tell you something. If it should have been, God would have preserved it.
Right.
Right.
Woo.
Right.
Somebody help me up here. I'm done. I want to leave you with this. This Bible is so pure, Brother Earl, it changes the hearts of men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I heard a preacher recently, I forget, I've listened to so many there on my headset when I bounced on back of that mower. But anyway, he said he went to witness to a fellow about the Lord, and the fellow said, don't come over here and tell me about that Bible. He said, because, amen, he said, I don't want you cramming religion down my throat. Well, he said, that's all right, amen. I didn't come to cram religion down your throat, but I come to pay you a debt.
Praise God.
Yeah. That guy said, oh, no, you don't owe me anything. He said, well, the Bible, and he got to break it down to how that I've got a debt to you to give you the Word of God.
Amen.
And then it's up to you to do with it from there what you want to do. He said, all right, you can tell it. He said, but I just want to let you know, I'm not interested in being in praying. I'm not interested in being a Christian. So he began to break down that Romans road. He began to break down John. Amen. He began to tell him what it was. Amen. How and amen it was to be saved. And amen for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. And he come on down there. And that guy said, amen. Yeah, but I don't want to be saved. And then finally, he said, amen. Before I go, do you care if I pray?
Come on.
He said, well, I've never turned anybody away from praying in my house. Go ahead and pray. He said, but I want to let you know before you pray, I have no desire to pray and get saved. That old guy gave him several scriptures while he was witnessing to him, and he prayed, and he said, oh God, this fellow has said multiple times he has no desire to pray and no desire for your word. But he said, oh God, I pray that you bring them scriptures into life and let them pierce this fellow's heart. Hallelujah. And he said he prayed until he looked over that front and he seen tears trickling down his eyes. Amen. And he got down praying and witnessing to this lost man. And he said, hey, would you like to pray? And he said, I sure would. Amen. You know why? Because of the perfection of the Word of God. And the power of the Word. There's power in this book. There's power in the Word of God to save the multitudes. There's power in God's Word.
Sir.
Aren't you glad of it?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
I feel like you laid this little message on my heart here for this Thursday night. I don't know. I hope someone's not, but maybe somebody in this house has been wondering in their mind, is there really anything to this? Is there really anything to this salvation, church, amen, this God thing. Is there anything really to this?
Lord,
hey, I come to tell him.
Lord.
I come to tell you, sir. I come to tell you, man, there's something to it. Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. This is real. This is real. This is real. I know. Hallelujah. Lord, would you let somebody feel this great inspired word of God? Hey, you ain't read it since last Sunday. You need to get a desire to read it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, God.
You should have devoted prayer time and devoted Bible reading every day of your life.
Come on.
You cannot be a strong Christian without it.
Yes, sir.
We cannot have a strong church without it.
Got it. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus.
Is anybody hungry for his word? Let's gather his altars. God, give me a hunger. Help me thirst, Lord. Lord, to that one that says, I can't understand, let them go there in the New Testament and read the red letters of Jesus Christ. Prove yourself to them, Lord. Shine the light of that gospel to them. Bring out your fire.
Lord, I'm here tonight. You always do what you want.
Lord, I'm here tonight.
Lord, have faith in your word. All the problems and troubles come. Sickness and heartache come to this land.